Hey, it is Thursday. It is also the day before Independence Day. How about that? What a cosmic coincidence, huh? And welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Good to have you at the other end of the radio waves and the telephone lines and the email server and all the other multiple devices we have to communicate nowadays. Phone number 414-1234. That's local. It's 800-926-8809. If it's long distance from you to us, perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address. And the old Twitter handle is at WFSU Perspective. Over the years, we have been doing an awful lot of discussion on the issue of homelessness because, as we mentioned at the outset, right before Ron's news, it is such a persistent problem, not only here, but across the nation, around the world. And it's not necessarily the kind of thing that can be simply solved by providing housing for people who don't have it. There are a lot of other issues and factors at play in this. And on multiple occasions, you've had agencies, both governmental and otherwise, trying to get a handle on it and address it in more or less piecemeal fashion. And this has worked to a greater or lesser degree. But as far as having an entire community that it pulls everything it has available to not just throw at this problem, but to try to develop a comprehensive and effective way of dealing with it, that doesn't happen too often. So that is sort of a new idea, a great new concept that has come to the Tallahassee and Leon County area. And because of that, we thought it very timely to talk about it here on Perspectives. So what a great panel. These are folks involved in what's called the Continuum of Care Initiative. I'm interested in finding out what it is, and I know you are too. So let's go around the table and meet these folks first. First of all, Tallahassee City Commissioner Gil Ziffer, who actually broached this idea at first. Thank you very much, sir. And also, congratulations on staying on the City Commission.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tom. Glad to be here, and I appreciate that.
Well, we've also got someone who's very much involved with homelessness from the get-go, the Homeless Coalition head, who is Susan Porcio. And Susan, thank you for coming. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Tom. Thanks for inviting me.
Helping out on the county and the chair of the Leon County Board of County Commissioners, who is Kristen Dozier. And thank you for coming in.
Good morning, Tom. Glad to be here.
And it would not be a party without the executive director of the United Way of the Big Bend, Heather Mitchell. And happy pre-4th of July to you too.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. Thanks for being invited to be here today.
Well, what's the United Way's involvement in this? We've talked about some of the ways in which United Way of the Big Bend's been involved with homelessness, whether it's the repositioning of the shelter, any other things. But on this continuum of care thing, what is that all about?
You know what? I think United Way really has two roles to play at this particular table. One is as a funder and an investor. From the community campaign that we run every year, about $1 million is allocated to help house and move people that are in a homeless situation into a home of their own. And so we have a pretty big stake to play in that. And I think the second piece of it is that United Way really does act as the convener in our community. Through our campaign, we have fingers that reach out into every single sector. We are unique in that. And so I think that we bring to the table a set of resources that are very different than others can bring to the table. And so I think those are the two roles that we are happy to play in this particular situation. And United Way is about making the community a better place, a stronger, safer, healthier place to be. And so this obviously is a really important, critical component of the work that we do to make sure those things happen.
Well, you've got dozens of agencies which are participating agencies, the United Way, the Big Bend, any number of whom might be able to bring something to this table, right?
And you know what? Not just agencies in the manner that you're speaking, which would be partners like the Big Bend Homeless Coalition or Refuge House or Echo, but also partnerships with the city and the county, but also local businesses. You know, we run 700 to 1,000 campaigns through local businesses, and you would be amazed at the number of people that contact us that want to know how they can get involved, how they can be engaged, how they can help. And so we can sort of make all those connections possible because of who we know and who we bring to the table. So it's not just agencies in nonprofit arena. It's businesses, it's private individuals, private family foundations that really use United Way as their tool, their vehicle, their medium for doing their philanthropic work together. And so we sort of act as the bridge to bring all of those people together.
Okay. Well, those are some of the resources. And we'll talk about the city and county's involvement here in just a sec. But Susan Porcio, if we can ask you about kind of a snapshot of what's going on here with the homeless situation in Tallahassee, Leon County. We heard recently that the overall homeless rate, at least in Florida, seems to be down somewhat, although the number of school-age kids who are homeless is like doubled. Did you hear that figure? It just came out.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. And in fact, that's the picture nationally. What a lot of cities and counties are doing is we're seeing a decrease in the overall number of people who are homeless and homeless veterans. But there are still a lot of families living in poverty that are just on the brink of homelessness. So one of the issues that all of us need to take a look at is how to continue decreasing homelessness overall, and specifically look at those groups like families with children that have needs that aren't currently being met by the service system that we might have in place now.
Okay, so is that sort of a transition from the stereotype that we all have, let's face it, of the guy, usually a grizzled old Vietnam-era vet, probably with a substance abuse or some other problem, hanging by the side of the road, will work for food, that type of thing, to more of just families being out and on their own and no visible means of support? Is that the transition we're seeing?
We're seeing both. And so what's happening, I think if you can look at homelessness overall, there are folks who have been homeless a long time, and actually those and the veterans are the folks that we are having the most success helping to move out of homelessness. A thornier issue are the families with children who might be living in cars or motels or out in camps who we have not yet been able to build the adequate safety net and resources to help them transition out of homelessness. So I think we're doing a good job in a lot of areas, and we need some improvement in other areas. And that's one of the things that this continuum of care effort is intended to do, is to look at the overall picture, kind of identify where are the needs that we haven't, that we might need to put more resources into or address differently. And with that 10,000-foot view, kind of think strategically about the future of the services in our community to improve the quality of life for everyone.
Okay, well, you mentioned the situation with homeless veterans, and something that's happened now very successfully for 2 years running is the veteran stand-down that takes place at the North Florida Fairgrounds. We had one just a little bit ago, and Chair Dozier, County, very much involved with that, even to the point of bringing in the whole Second Judicial Circuit to try to take care of some of the legal issues. That seems to be a good model for this kind of thing.
I think the stand down is a great model. It is only once a year. So I think, as Susan articulates, we need to find ways to address these issues ongoing throughout the year. And I think the collaboration that the Continuum of Care Board is going to bring together, the increased collaboration, I should say, is going to be really beneficial. But the stand down has helped us in ways of identifying homeless vets, but giving them a lot of services all in one day. And if you haven't been out there the last 2 years, I encourage folks to go and visit or volunteer next year. It should be in November. And, you know, these folks are getting haircuts. They're getting medical visits. There was a bus there doing dental visits last year and actually doing oral surgery in some cases. I mean, it was pretty amazing. They can access a lot of our nonprofit agencies at that time. They have tents, so they're set up. You know, they can live on site for the weekend. But the court system, really, I mean, you mentioned that, Tom. That was one of the most impressive. This year we were able to move one of our judges down there for a day, and these guys were able to go in, have their cases heard, and get some remedy to that to really move them through the system. And when I walked into this tent, I mean, you kind of have this thought of a little bit of MASH. You know, it's a big green army tent, but it looks like a regular court. I mean, there was a, you know, it was very formal. And so looking for strategies like that, that we can have really direct access to service, is wonderful. But I am proud to, you know, be supportive in the counties as well of the continuum, because we need to look at this throughout the year.
Okay, and that brings us back to City Commissioner Gil Zifrin. The whole idea of this continuum of care, that's I wanted to bounce off of that stand-down concept, because as we discussed this before we put the panel together, that was kind of what you were alluding to. You need to have this triage where you involve every resource you got and bring it to the table and say, okay, how can we all make this work together?
Well, if I can circle back for a minute, I'm going to give thanks to Heather, because the United Way has taken, in several instances, a far more proactive role in bringing people together, and that's just so vitally important. Sometimes we can be led by the hand, and sometimes we need kind of a kick in the butt to get us moving. And I'm not saying that Heather does that, but I will say that whenever we can get people in a room working towards a singular goal, we seem to have far greater successes. Which brings up another very important point, which I'm going to actually let Susan talk about a little bit more, and that has to do with whenever we get these groups together and we're working in a collective fashion, we're also able to gather more information. Mm-hmm. And therefore, from a reporting standpoint, we have a far better idea of what our actual situation is. And from that, how do we really solve and work out some of the remedies? The program is called HMIS, where we all collectively report in the same way. Susan has a lot more knowledge in that area, because I know that out at the Hope community, they're already utilizing that. So, Susan, maybe you want to elaborate some.
Yeah, how does that work, Susan?
In our continuum of care, we have a homeless management information system, which is a wonderful tool for us to use. And basically what it does is we have a lot of different agencies that participate that collect data on who's homeless in our community, where have they been staying, what are their needs, how long have they been homeless. And what we can do with everybody working on the same page is we can get an overall picture of homelessness. We can answer the questions like you asked earlier. Are we seeing an increase in families with children who are homeless? What about veterans? So it's wonderful to do individual work helping people get out of homelessness. It's just so heartwarming to see families and individuals and veterans move into their own apartments. At the same time, it's really, really helpful tool if we can see the big picture and use that data and those reports to really design a system that addresses the needs at the time and at the place where it's most needed and most effective. And that's what we can use HMIS for.
And if I can add to that, it helps us with funding.
Exactly.
Because when we know what we have and we know what the extent of the problem is, and quite frankly, it is a bigger problem than we probably thought it was, we're able to apply for more federal funds to hopefully solve some of those problems. Whereas in the past, we didn't quite have all that information, so we were lacking in some of those dollars.
Almost taking a scientific approach to analyzing the problem, figuring out where the resources are needed, getting the resources, and getting the problem solved. What a concept, huh? Talking about homelessness in the continuum of care on Perspectives. We'll be right back. Homelessness from a different look here on Perspectives today, something called the continuum of care, where instead of taking a more concentrated but somehow scattershot approach to the problem of homelessness, taking a more scientific look at exactly what is the problem, defining it in a multitude of terms, and then figuring out what resources are available in the community to best address those different parts of the problem. Kind of a revolutionary concept, and yet intuitive. I mean, this is the way we solve a lot of things. Well, why not this?
It helps. Keep in mind that the goal here is as quickly as possible is to get people back into transitional housing or more permanent housing. This is not to get people into a shelter or a situation like that. We want to get them back on the road to actually being in a more permanent situation. And the quicker we can do that, the more successes we have. The other part to that is the longer people stay homeless, the bigger the problem becomes for them. So if we can, in some cases, help solve it before they even fall into that hole, the better off we all are.
Go ahead, Heather.
But I think the interesting thing about what all of this brings to the community and the Continuum of Care Board and what has happened here under Susan's leadership is we as a community have never really looked at how to set community priorities about homelessness. And you can't do that without baseline. So all of this research and data is what helps us set that baseline. And what this Continuum of Care Board will do as it moves forward is looks at, okay, now we know what we're looking at. How are we going to set priorities that we all can look at and move together in a collective manner to get there? And I think that the Comprehensive Emergency Services Center, which was happening at the same time that all of this formed, really brought a broken system together and people could figure out, okay, we can share data. We can talk about how this looks. We can share resources. And so I think moving forward, we're in a really great place to make things happen and to start seeing those numbers of families that are homeless and with kids really start to move backwards, which is what we want.
Yeah, Kristen Dozier, you want to jump in there?
Well, I know we're going to drill down a little bit more into what the Continuum of Care Board is going to do, but I think it's also important, this is kind of implied in your question, I think we're seeing something different in recent years, whether it's in response to a particular issue or a particular event or something like that. We have a lot more collaboration. I mean, people are more willing to sit down at the Absolutely. Table together and talk through these really hard issues, and it is not easy. I mean, you have different people with strongly, you know, different perspectives, or they have poured their heart into one way of doing things or another way of doing things. And for a long time, our different agencies, who are all wonderful in the community, were really focused on, or a lot of them, very much focused on their own services, what they are doing. And I think we're seeing, whether it's children's issues or homeless issues or a lot of different things, a lot of what United Way is doing as well, bringing people together to look at this more broadly. And I think it's also important that at the same time we're collecting data for the homelessness issue specifically, we're moving to an online system for the Community Human Service Partnership applications, which is CHSP grant applications between the City, County, and United Way. That's going to help us get data. So I think, you know, this is eventually we're going to be looking at how to help families and individuals before they reach the crisis of losing their home, before they're in that car. And I think that's going to help as well. So I think it's a changing way that we're looking at these issues community-wide, and it's really exciting. This is very important just to look more specifically at homelessness, but we've got to do all of these different parts at once.
Okay, and Susan Porcheau, since you have been in the driver's seat there of the Big Bend Homeless Coalition for so long, and you have seen things that have worked pretty well, you have also seen some things that have not worked well at all. And sometimes even people who, with the best of intentions, get together and wind up at each other's throats rather than working together. Is this new? Is this kind of what you think needs to be done to let you have a better handle on the problem, whether it's in the Hope community or the new shelter that's a building next door?
Yes, absolutely. I think that time and time again, we've seen in this community that the collaboration, the people coming to the same table, is what moves us to a new level. And that's happening in homelessness services. And it started, you know, a year and a half ago when we began to struggle with some of the issues. Now we're at a new place with the Comprehensive Emergency Services Center and some other things happening. And we're at a real opportunity here where we can take a look at this issue that's been plagued our city and many communities for years and look at it in a new and different light and all come to the same table. One of the great things about this opportunity is that we have not only, as Heather mentioned, not only the homeless services agencies, but the cities and the counties and TMH and the Chamber of Commerce and law enforcement. We have everybody around the table now. And while people are coming from different perspectives, ultimately, we all want the same thing, which is to help people move out of homelessness as quickly as possible and improve the quality of life in our community for everyone. And regardless of what seat you're sitting in, as long as we have that common goal, we are going to be successful in moving forward. We just need to stay the course and have a mechanism like the Continuum of Care that brings us together regularly to have that conversation.
If I could just for a moment step back, because the term the face of homelessness was mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, and I just had to be very clear to everybody, the face of homelessness in this town, for the most part, are not the folks that you might see in the street corner with a sign. Mm-hmm. If you work in a state office building, or if you work in a real estate office, or if you work even at a school, you know, look at the person working next to you, because you might be surprised that they're sleeping in their car, or that they are in their car with their family, or they are in some other situation when they are not in their home. Because a lot of people that are homeless have jobs and they have cell phones. It's just that they didn't quite have enough money to stay where they were and they had to make choices. You know, when you're sitting there and let's say you've lost your job and you've got to make a decision because you've got to either feed your kids or stay where you are, you're going to feed your kids. And those folks are then out. And as Kristen said, if we can get into a situation where we think of these differently and we help people not fall into that hole, we'll be far better off.
We are joined by another member of the Continuum of Care panel, and we'll let her get all settled in here. Debbie Leonard is representing the Greater Tallahassee Area Chamber of Commerce. Debbie, really appreciate your coming on deck here, and I'll bring you up to speed real fast on what we've been talking about here, is giving an overview of the Continuum of Care, how this is kind of a new and different approach to tackling this problem here in the Greater Tallahassee and Leon County area. And we got to find out, what does the Chamber of Commerce have to do in regards to this situation beyond just, oh, the homeless people, like Commissioner Ziffer was saying, not the folks who are working next to you, but the folks out on the street corner. Well, that's a negative. We want to get them away from the downtown area because that's a bad image for Tallahassee. What else is the Chamber doing here?
Well, first of all, the Chamber is happy to be at the table with all of the folks that have been involved in the homelessness and helping the homelessness for all these years. And the Continuum of Care, full board, we can help them. But the businesses, you know, getting them off the street, it has to be a permanent answer. Yes, it is. You know, they're on the streets. But that shows the community, whoever visits Tallahassee, whoever comes to those businesses, does the community care? And so we're here at the table. It's not a quick fix, to be part of the solution with everybody here.
Well, we talked about the changing face of homelessness, and Commissioner Ziffer, as you said, the fact it could be anybody, you know, the person next to you. And Lord knows I've come close enough to being homeless on a couple of occasions. Certainly no fun there. But the folks who seem to cause that perception, and also is the biggest bugaboo, whether it's for the business community, the law enforcement community, are the folks who just the perennial homeless people, many of whom, for whatever reason, don't seem to mind being homeless. What do we do about them? Susan Porcheau, you deal with those folks all the time.
We do. And I want to just tell a story. We have a veterans housing program called Advocates for Veteran Housing. And in that program, our outreach workers go out into the streets and in the woods and interact with veterans wherever they are. One of the gentlemen that we helped move into his own apartment this year had been essentially staying at Lake Ella for 4.5 years. Now, for the last 4.5 years, people have been probably walking by him and thinking, he's chosen to be homeless. There's no reason for him to be homeless. If he would work harder, he wouldn't be homeless. And yet, once we reached out to him and we offered him some support getting into an apartment and getting a job and getting hooked up with VA benefits, he's no longer homeless, and he is loving it. So there are a lot of stories like that that prove that if only we can do the right thing in the right way at the right time, then we won't have the perennial homeless. We can help people get into apartments, but we need to do it smarter and we need to do it collaboratively. And that's what the Continuum of Care is about.
I'm glad you brought that up because that seems to be, and I think everyone at this table has heard that argument over and over again. Well, you know, you can't force these people to do what they don't want to do. They're actually happier on the street. Who in their right mind would choose to live like that?
Well, and you have to also think about the fact that whatever has put them in that situation had to have been pretty traumatic. Think about traumatic things that you've gone through in your own life. There are other things you have to overcome. It's not just about getting a job application and going and applying for something. There are other things that you have to deal with and you have to figure out how to get past. And I think that's what is so exciting, especially in my world, to see is all of these folks come together and becoming wraparound services. It's not just about giving someone a safe place to sleep at night and a meal. It's about how can we help you get to where you need to be. And everybody's coming from a different place. And so it might take someone from Susan's shop or someone from Meg Baldwin's shop with Refuge House who's been through a domestic violence situation or someone from Echo to come in. I mean, there's lots of different factors and every single one of them is different. There's not one cookie cutter solution. And so that's why having everybody at the table, that's why having a wraparound services and an emergency triage piece that can identify what your issue is and how can we get you the best solution for that is so critically important. And that's what I think is so exciting about what's happening in our community.
And every one of these cases is a different story. And Commissioner Dozier, out at the stand down, I spent the whole day wandering around collecting stories, and each one was just riveting. And you're right, the trauma that so many of these folks went through, I mean, would have crushed anyone's spirit and maybe totally destroyed them. But they're still out there plugging away, and they want to get back to where they believe they need to be. Go ahead.
I think that's right. And I think, as Heather said and Susan, there's been a misperception for a long time. And when we think about the homeless in one caricature, perhaps, but we all know it's much more complex. And whether it is a trauma like PTSD that someone experiences, whether it's from a domestic violence or from being in war or something like that, there can be an event later in life. But I think a lot of this, as Heather was saying, is about the basic capabilities. Not everyone learns to meet those basic capabilities early in life or has those resources. And we as a community, I just wanted to go back to your question to Debbie, that I think, you know, we're not just doing this from the heart. We're not just, I mean, yes, we are doing it from the heart. We want to help individuals and families, you know, have a good quality of life, have those capabilities and stand on their own so that they can express themselves as individuals and live full lives. But as a community, when we have people who are productive members of our community who are able to contribute, we all get stronger. And the business community gets stronger. Each of our quality of lives in all of our neighborhoods get stronger. And so the continuum for me is, yes, it's about the services provided to those folks. We also have to think about the impact on our broader community when we address issues like this. It touches everybody, whether you see someone on the street on any given day or not. These people are still in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and our community will be stronger if we can help build those basic capabilities so that they can stand on their own. Because I do think, I mean, it's part of the human spirit. We want to be able to feed ourselves. We want to be able to work, to contribute, to have some independence, and that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah. Susan.
And there's another piece to the economic effect on the community. There was a study done recently in the Orlando area, and they looked at the 50 or 100 or so longest-term homeless people in their community, and they found that on average that homeless person in that situation was costing the community and emergency resources about $45,000 a year. Emergency room visits, law enforcement, jail, mental health episodes, and so on. At the same time, folks that were chronically homeless but in apartments were costing the community about $12,000 a year. So right there, knowing they knew that if they could house that 50 or so people, they would save the community hundreds of thousands of dollars in emergency services. So it does both the heart part and the head part, and it goes together.
When people lose hope of what the possibilities are for the future, that's an extremely low point for anyone to be. And by coming together as a group, hopefully we can help people understand that there's no more reason to lose hope, because there are people out there that are concerned, and it can help them solve not only finding a transitional home, but also, like you said, how did they get there? Mm-hmm. Was it somebody, financial mismanagement? You know, you can't just throw somebody in a house and say, here are your keys, good luck. We need to help them solve some of those problems and why they got there. And by working together, we can hopefully identify those and help them along.
And hence the whole concept, continuum of care. It's not, okay, here's your apartment, have fun.
That doesn't work.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And Debbie Leonard, what Susan was just saying, too, about the fiscal prudence of this type of approach, too, that's got to be attractive to the business community. Yeah. Because, let's face it, you know, you guys wind up paying such a, you know, large share of the tax burden.
That's correct. In fact, Susan just took the words right out of my mouth, because it is an economic impact. You know, the law enforcement, the jails, they're taking up resources that can be better spent. As we just heard from the police chief, there's better ways to spend their time. And so a lot of this with permanent housing, if they had a home, if they had some care management, they wouldn't be out loitering. We wouldn't public, you know, display and doing things that really aren't proper, that it's a misdemeanor, but they, you know, they're going to get arrested. So it is a very big economic decision to do this. I mean, it's why don't you prevent it, and then your resources can be spent in you know, better use of the businesses, communities. Money.
Well, that's a prevention, you know, the old saying.
Right. It's a lot easier to pay for it up front than to pay for it way
exactly.
down the road.
That's exactly. Exactly. Right.
Yeah, because for that same amount of money, I mean, my gosh, you could send these folks to Harvard for crying out loud. You know, which might be more productive. You were talking about stories. One young man I met, and one of the big assets of the shelter, I hope it continues in the new situation, was the band that they put together with the residents. And the last time I caught one of the rehearsals, it was the joy on these guys' faces. And it was all guys. You know, I'm sure that there are some women who could really rock out, too. and everyone just having a good old time. And there's various competency levels there. But the lead guitarist, when he went into a solo, I thought, wait a second. I have heard this guy before. And after rehearsal broke up, I went over because I taped some of it. And I wanted to get a little comment from him. And I said, weren't you in? And I mentioned the name of the band. He said, yeah, I was.
Wow.
And it was one of the top rock acts in this country.
Really?
Wow. I won't identify because that would identify him. Because they think, oh, God, I know who you're talking about. And he went through the typical downward spiral that so many folks in that business do, the drugs, the alcohol, the whole bit, wound up on the street and is now fighting his way back. But I swear, he could be a session man in New York or Nashville or any other place on the planet. And just that talent, that resource, now working its way back to viability again. I mean, that was hopeful. Yeah. That was terrific, and I really wish him all the best. I hope that he can regain his life there, too. The continuum of care, that's what we're talking about in regards to homelessness here on Perspectives. And, boy, do we have a great panel. 414-1234, your input, too, of course, 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. You know, it is so rare to find a whole bunch of, you know, great movers and shakers of the community the day before the 4th of July. But we got them all here. We've got Leon County Commission Chair Kristen Dozier and Tallahassee City Commissioner Gil Ziffer, Big Bend Homeless Coalition Exec Director Susan Porchot, Debbie Leonard with the Greater Tallahassee Area Chamber of Commerce representing that group on the Continuum of Care Board, and Heather Mitchell, who heads up the United Way of the Big Bend. Who came up with the idea or the actual wording, continuum of care? Was that borrowed from somebody? Susan, where did that come from?
It's actually a national movement. So all across the country, continua of care are being created. And because what we found from best practices is that across the country, homelessness is going down when people work together like we are. And it's called the continuum of care because it's a whole continuum of people who are caring for the community.
That is neat. So it didn't originate here. It was a borrowed idea. Who, I guess, since we're talking best practices, who's got a track record that you could look at and say, wow, this really did work in, you know, Sausalito or Omaha or wherever? Mm-hmm.
Probably the folks who started this kind of approach were in Columbus, Ohio. And the leader of that was then drafted by the current administration to head up United States Interagency Council on Homelessness. And through her leadership, that effort has grown across the country. There have been some great successes in the last year in Phoenix, Arizona, and in Utah. Different places, different sizes, different types of communities. But time and time again, it's been shown that when people come together around a table and meet regularly, like a continuum of care, that things change. Differences are created, and people get out of homelessness, and the community at large benefits.
Many of the people who are homeless, though, are, dare we say, transients, and again, not referring to the guy that you see with the sign at the intersection, but even families as they're searching for work, as they're looking for more resources. Is that part of the scenario here, too, that if this becomes a mecca for providing those resources and getting people back on their feet, that in, you know, some strange way we actually could attract not just homeless people, but actually more people with resources, with skills, with abilities that could contribute more to the community.
Well, I think you ended that on a better note than where I thought you were going, because, yes, I mean, bringing more skilled folks into the community is an absolute goal of all of ours. I mean, we want to keep and attract good people here for sure. But I think that there is a perception sometimes that when you improve homeless services, you might become a mecca for people who are more transient, who are looking for those services. And I know a couple of communities around the country who, at least anecdotally, Susan probably knows a lot more than I, but I have heard that message. I have thought about this in the last year and in a few conversations. I think – once again, I think Leon County and Tallahassee through and then the region, the 8-county region, we're really leading this effort in a lot of ways with a number of other communities across the country. But I'm glad that the state has stepped up with some funding and that actually started looking at this year. So my hope would be that other communities jump on board as well. So we are not this island kind of in the middle of all these other communities that has better services than others, but that we really show some best practices in Florida and that other communities can adopt this process as well. And I just have to say that this is very complicated. I mean, as you just heard from Susan, I mean, this is, you know, there are specific criteria and ways that we have to go through forming this board that gives us access to funding and things like that. But then we're also thinking about all of our very specific local issues. And Susan and her staff have done a phenomenal job kind of branching off of the conversations that we had between Big Bend Homeless and the shelter to really bring us all together in the last few months. I mean, this has been a lot of heavy lifting, and we're in this transition. But I just really want to appreciate Susan and her staff for getting us to this point, and I'm excited about taking the next steps with the board.
Well, what are the next steps? Where do we go from here then?
There's a few things that are happening. First of all, just to add on to Kristen's comment about our being a place where the services are better, we are not talking about creating a kind of cafeteria of giveaways. We are talking about creating a system that helps people get out of homelessness. And so this is not an easy way out. This is doing a lot of hard work, and it's hard work for our community, and it's hard work for folks who are trying to get out of homelessness. So I think that that's an important message. We have in the future monthly continuum of care meetings, and on our continuum of care board, we have three representatives who have been homeless in their past, and they're going to bring to our board and our conversation a really great perspective about what they've been through and what they saw worked and didn't work from their perspectives. We'll be meeting monthly the second Monday of every month, and if you need to know more information about that, you can contact me. I'll get you the information as quickly as I can about how to get involved, how to become a member of the continuum of care. And this is just so exciting because over the next few months, we'll be setting out a strategy, a plan for how we're going to move forward. And this is the time to get involved.
Okay, because that's what I wanted to find out, too. We've got, you know, some of the, and I say this in with the greatest of admiration here, but movers and shakers, really leaders of the community, folks who are plugged in all over the place, sitting around this table. And sometimes that scares folks. They think, ooh, okay, we got, you know, city and county commissioners and nonprofit honchos and honchoettes. And, you know, what could I possibly bring to the table to contribute to this?
I've never been referred to as a honchoette, so that's
I hope
amazing.
Not. I hope not, Gil.
You know what? There's a place for everybody at this table. That's been one of the really interesting things about what's brought us to the moment that we are in now, is who has come to the table and solutions that they've come. We are not a brain trust.
Right.
It takes – we are not the smartest people in the room. But I think having the passion and the willingness to want to make a change, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the heart of a servant, someone who really wants to make a change happen in our community for the better.
Which I think, and I know that a couple of you have already said this, but We're not out to solve the problem so this becomes, as Kristen said, a mecca, but I don't think any of us want to race to the bottom.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't solve the problem. And if that means racing to the top, fine. Let's do that. And if we're known as a community that takes care of their own in addition to other people that might happen to come here, fine, let's do that. That's who we are. If you look at the number of associations and part of, you know, the UPHS and all the other organizations that provide services for people, we do a really good job, and I don't think any of us should be ashamed of that. So the better job we can do, let's do that. Let's race to the top.
Yeah, because I remember what happened in the city of Tampa not too many years ago, where there was this giant downtown sweep because it was such a negative. And I see Debbie Leonard's over there nodding her head. Yeah, as far as the image of the downtown was concerned and the look of the entire community, let's get these folks out of here. They make a mess. They're unsanitary, all of these sorts of things. And all they did was just, you know, move them outside the city limits. They did not address the problem. And so you're talking about addressing the problem and not just moving these people off the downtown streets.
You know, there's a broader discussion, which I think you're going to have next week, too, and that is law enforcement is not the solution to this. I'm not sure what happened to my microphone.
Oop, let's see. We had a little. There we go. Okay, it's back.
Okay. You know, the community coming together and working cohesively and collectively, that's going to be a far greater solution for us.
Well, and I think the really good point there is that we cannot arrest our way out of this. I've heard that said a number of times, and this is when the community, you know, we all got into this because we wanted to make the world a better place, at least our part of it, and this is what we are all seeking to do in this work.
Yeah, and one of the first people to agree with you, Heather Mitchell, would be the Leon County Sheriff, Larry Campbell, who said he has no place in his jail for folks who just are homeless, who have substance abuse and mental health issues and that sort of thing. His idea is to, you know, try to get criminals off the street and not be a temporary accommodation for these folks.
And we know that nationally this is a problem in a lot of our law enforcement in our jails, that we have a lot of mentally ill folks and a lot of homeless folks coming into the system. As Susan and Debbie said earlier, I mean, this costs the community a tremendous amount. I do think, though, that we can't emphasize enough the new homeless center that's going to be out near Hope Community. And, you know, that took a lot of struggle. A lot of people around the table were heavily involved in that. I wasn't during, some of the conversation. I was from the county commission side, but directly at that table with the different organizations. And, you know, looking at it from the outside, I think the catalyst that the center is going to be to draw these services together. We will be able to talk about it on the Continuum of Care Board, but we all have a place as well that people can access, bringing the Renaissance Center, what they've done in the last couple of years, where someone can walk in and access numerous nonprofits in the same facility. Those types of things are really good. But when we look at the county budget, it, you know, a huge portion of our budget goes into law enforcement and into the jail specifically. So, I mean, exactly what they were talking about earlier, to reduce that, those numbers within the jail is going to help us with all county services, with taxes, with everything else. And this is an issue that should, you know, be of concern for everyone.
To the phones we go. Elizabeth is on line one, and we appreciate you giving us a call here on Perspectives as we continue our discussion of homelessness and the continuum of care approach to it. Hey, Elizabeth, welcome to Perspectives.
Hello, Tom. I'm a member of a church downtown that has a mission to the homeless people on Sunday afternoons. We serve meals, whatnot, and I'm wondering how the people who like to be downtown, like to use the library and so on, will be able to continue their access to those services.
Ah, you're a mind reader, Elizabeth. That was one question I wanted to bring up, too,
really?
since we that seems to be the nexus or the gathering place for a lot of folks,
yeah,
particularly transients who wind up downtown,
right,
and around the bus station and all that sort of thing. Will there be shuttle services out to the new shelter? Or exactly how do you kind of relocate that population, or at least let them know that something's available out there on Pensacola Street and not downtown?
Well, I think, Susan may be able to help me, but as I recall, I know we're still talking about having some type of intake facility in our downtown area, because we know that a lot of people won't know where they can get these services, where they can hopefully find some transitional housing. So I know we're working with Star Metro. We're going to try to provide passes so that we can get people from one location to the other. Keep in mind that a lot of folks go to the library and other places downtown because That's where the shelter is.
Or there's nowhere else to go during the day. I mean, you have to also understand that at 7 a.m.
they have to leave.
The shelter closes. And this new facility that's being built is not just dormitories. This has a recreation component. It has a job training component. It has wraparound services, as Commissioner Dozier mentioned. It's going to be a full-service place to help people get back to where they need to be. It is on a bus line. We are working in a transition plan right now. Our committee that's been meeting for every 2 weeks has now gone to monthly, working on the transition plan and what that's going to look like. So I think we will still help people get to where they need to be, but there's going to be a completely different facility than what you see now, and how it looks, how it operates, and what it seeks to do. And I think this is all new territory for all of us, so we're just going to have to work together to see how we can make those things happen for people that want to be in those areas. But the services that are going to be available in this new location, I think are going to provide opportunities for people that are homeless that can do all of those things that the library was doing.
Okay, Commissioner Dozier.
Well, and I want to say, you know, we very much appreciate what Elizabeth and other community groups do, reaching out to veterans, or not veterans, to the homeless and veterans on certain days. But, you know, from my perspective, you know, someone who grew up here, things have changed so dramatically. I mean, there was a time where you couldn't and you all may have a different opinion, but I wouldn't think the shelter could have been anywhere else. The bus system wasn't that efficient. The library was right there. The bus station was right there. You know, a lot of the services were right there in the city center, and if you weren't there, it was going to be very, very difficult to access some of these things. I think, and that was a question that came up before all of us when we were talking about funding this new center out in West Pensacola. But the bus system, we got to give some credit to the city here, has improved dramatically in the last number of years. That is a huge asset. There are other assets in the community that I think, as Heather said, will help support this center being on West Pensacola, and we will still be able to get people to where they need to go. But this is an ongoing process. As Susan said, we're coming up with a plan. We're going to be meeting monthly, and you know, as issues come up, we'll be able to address them.
Yeah, and the stories that people have heard over the years about this person 15 years at the shelter, this person 12 years, 10 years, those days when this new center opens, those are over. This is a comprehensive emergency services center. This is not long-term or midterm housing. That's not what it's designed for. It's for them to come and try to find out.
Triage, get you in, figure out what the issue is and how can we get you there. And, you know, there's some really neat components that haven't been discussed a lot. One, it's going to have its own infirmary. That's going to help with healthcare right there off the bat. And I think it's amazing the partnerships that are being discussed about how that's going to operate are really innovative for our community. So that's exciting. The second is kitchen. We're putting in a full commercial grade kitchen so that people can learn job skills. Is there something that we connections that we can make to get people back to work in our community? So when they are put into a home, there is a job that can go with it. Those are the kinds of things that we're looking at. It's not just about a meal and a bed. It's about way more than that.
Not to mention proximity to Goodwill next door, where we have case management help, and we also have job retraining, and there are all those other.
And we're already talking about partnerships right with that and what that looks like. And, you know, at the new Fred Shelfer Prosperity Center just opening up, there's just so many. I think Susan said it earlier. We are really at a critical point that has, like, opportunity to just go a million miles in 40,000 different directions. And that is exciting. That is exciting to see. And our community has never come together like this to talk about how to deal with this issue. I'll look forward to how we deal with the next issue that's happening in our community. If we can bring this kind of collaborative spirit, this type of resources, this type of collegiality to it, think about what we can do with all these issues in our community.
Yeah, success builds on success.
It
but
does.
But I got to ask Commissioner Ziffer one thing about the soon-to-be former shelter downtown. Since the community redevelopment folks apparently are taking over that property, it used to be a legendary club by the name of Tommy's, where you had, speaking of rock and roll music, people like Joan Jett and some other bands playing there all the time. So will it revert to its original identity?
Yeah, or? I'm sitting, and it would, I guess this is a public moment so we could talk about it because Chris, Commissioner Doge and I sit on the CRA together. You know, Tom, I think anything's on the table. Bring us an idea. We'd be more than happy to consider it. Clearly that we're looking at a redevelopment opportunity where we can finally have some significant changes for the Frenchtown community that doesn't involve every as Heather said, every morning 200 or 300 people walking out of the street and falling going into that community. So if you want to bring a club back, Tom, it may be another career opportunity for you.
And there we go. Yes, because there's no place for bands to play.
And you said the name of it was Tommy's?
Tommy's,
there
exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. I think
poetic.
Buried underneath the facade is probably the original sign. We don't even have to buy a new one. Commissioner Dozier.
I love getting this history lesson this morning, hearing about Tommy's. I've got to go ask the family about this. But I think this is a really important point that being in Frenchtown, I mean, we got to help support those businesses as well. And the CRA is going to do a lot there. But moving the shelter will help us redevelopment that area and support all of the businesses and families that live in Frenchtown and a key historic neighborhood for us. That's going to be great as well.
Guys, it's been a great
Thanks
discussion.
For having us.
We appreciate it.
Thank
Happy
you so
Independence
much.
Day
Thanks.
To
Happy
everyone.
Fourth.
Happy Fourth.
Thank
you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls on the board today. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, we'll dive into the very timely and tempestuous topic of gun violence in Tallahassee. We'll reconnect with you right then on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.